Wait a second.
What happened?
We're not.
This conference is being recorded.
This is anticlimactic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy New Year!
Hey!
Hey! Come on, now,
welcome to the party, everybody.
I want to tell you guys. At one point, I'm going to go on the radio. I'll be on George Norrie or something. And we're going to have like 1,000 people on this line. And I'm going to mute you all. Because you're all becoming party animals.
That's right.
That'll be the new people's loss, though, man.
Well, you know what? Everybody has to go through, would you call it initiation or something, till they figure it out. And so you don't want to scare them away while they're figuring it out, okay?
Then you'll have to sequester everybody to a newbie line.
Mm-hmm. I'll put you all into private room number one with Dwayne.
I want to sit at the adult table.
Okay.
Hello, this is Teresa from Indiana. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Is anybody brand new on the line for the first time?
Is there anybody?
I guess not.
This is the most quietest I've heard this line.
You didn't check in early enough, Wynn.
Well, I don't know. Usually it's just background static and echoes.
Hey, Wynn. I just gave your number for this past Sunday. For a couple of people, and one of them, a young woman, she experienced everything that you were talking about in that one time she listened.
Wow.
She bought into it.
That's wonderful.
Is she here tonight?
No. She's got a family, and they tie her up, but she gets into the replays. And mind you, she was listening to the replay.
I see. Oh, well,
and she still went through all the experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Let's see if we have any more questions tonight. You know what's so cool about what we're doing is that we're learning together. You realize there's at least, except for certain people, there's no hierarchy here, really, on the call. Until someone gets out of line, of course, then there's a hierarchy. In truth, that's just a matter of protecting the energy, because, you know, we are, I think we're going where very few people, if anybody, has ventured in this realm. And it's like, I can't really come in and say I'm a perfect master. You know, there are some people, you know, if you go start checking out channelings, and if you go even back to theosophy, there's all these what's called ascended masters in other realms. And there's one point of view that
muted,
that those people who call themselves ascended masters are actually, they've graduated from this realm and they're stuck in the astral and they're bored. I'm not saying this is true. If any of you guys are listening, this is just a conjecture. Now, the bottom line is, if you are, you know, through all the levels, there's always service to some, service to others. So if something is benefiting you, if you're getting something out of it, and you don't feel a control pattern on it, then it's got to be good. And it doesn't matter if somebody's in the astral, causal, wherever. And the only interesting thing about what we're doing is that, you know, first we have these sources that say they're at the very top of everything. And that means they can look down and see things, depending on Jerry's ability to be clear and out of the way. Sometimes I know she, everyone in the channel says this, does bleed through. And but the extraordinary thing are the amazing energies that we feel on Sundays on those calls. Did you notice, you know, I find this quite amazing. I may be wrong here, but I get into this quickly. And as soon as I say those amazing energies on the call, immediately I feel a shift in my energy. And I observe that. And even when I'm not thinking about it and I say it, it happens. And the crazy thing is, when I feel a shift in my energy, I think those of you who are more sensitive feel a shift in your energy. And so we are creating a group energy. And in a sense, it is probably similar to what a group soul is, except we're in a body creating it. They create it, and they don't have bodies. You know, there's a fine line between a group energy and a hive mentality. I don't know if you've ever read about reptilians, but reptilians are said to have a hive mentality. And I would imagine it would indicate a certain lack of free will and a certain hierarchy. There is a hierarchy with reptilians. Distinct hierarchy, and there's definitely those at the top and the worker bees at the bottom, just as in a bee colony, that's what they call it, a hive. And but I don't think they feel these kinds of energies. I would imagine they feel a certain sense of duty. Like in an army, there's a hive mentality. Everybody marches together. They feel a sense of duty. They feel a sense of responsibility to each other. But there's not that tingle that goes through you when suddenly you expand into the higher dimensions. And it's that presence comes in. So you guys have all been just such a great part of this huge experiment to be able to do that. And we're still learning as we go. I'm still learning. You know, I'd like to feel that, hey, we can create a group. I know when we have a group energy, we have a lot of power in that. And that we have the ability to move energies around by our intentions and get help from the other side. And we're still learning. What an unusual thing to be doing on the phone in this way. And I guess by now, after my 3 emails went out from last night, it's one of the things about sending emails out. God forbid you make a mistake, because you get 200 emails the next day from people saying, you did this, you did that, the link doesn't work. And so I finally got it right. But this is a very exciting thing. And you know, it's interesting that it's kind of passed me by for 10, 15 years, because I was aware of Zachariah Sitchin. I was aware of the idea of aliens creating, humans for quite some time. Or at least, maybe I didn't know it for sure, but I certainly had heard that as a perspective. And where it really started blowing my mind, and you know, from a marketing standpoint of getting people's attention, of rewriting the reality in the system, the thing about the gods of the Old Testament actually being those aliens is mind-blowing. And that we have all these multi-millions of people on this planet who have come from those traditions that were started where they thought it was started by what they think is God. And in fact, it was these ancient aliens. That's the premise. And there's a lot of evidence to the fact that that is true. And in fact, it's hard to even believe it's not true when you start looking at the evidence and the clay tablets. And it's amazing to me that something can be so obviously true scientifically, and it doesn't immediately change all the books. It can't, I guess, because there's too many people that have too big investments in their religions and that are getting paychecks that are, you know, whatever. And this would be too much. But let's start with our questions for tonight. Let me just quickly check and see if any last minute questions came in. And here's one. Let me just paste it in so we're ready. Jerry, you're ready, right? Uh-oh.
Hi, I'm here. I'm
you're
here.
There? And yeah. You're unmuted?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're there.
Thank you.
Let's see, I'm just getting this one other thing here. Just a second. Just a second. See, it's good when you have spaces, but then when you say just a second, it just gives everybody a chance to go into the zone. Hang on a second. All right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity, we take them to the highest realms of light and transmute it for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields, planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space where only the positive has access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present on this? I don't know if I said the date, August 14th. 2013.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy to be with each and every one of you who wishes to reconnect with us. And we take a moment and we rebalance and orient ourselves to planet Earth. Do you have questions?
Yes. First question is from Cindy Ezo, and she didn't tell me where she lives. I think maybe we know, but a couple of months ago, she had a vision. She had finished a long meditation, was in half-awake, half-asleep state, when she felt an instant, almost painful pressure deep in her head, where the pineal gland is, and a simple image popped up in the head of an outline of an angel with an orange glow. As soon as I figured out what it was, the image and pressure left as quickly as it came. I've been in that awake-sleep state many times since that vision, but I haven't received any more. Was it really an angel? Is there anything you can tell me about it? And how can we make it happen more?
Thank you. One of the things that you can do is, before you go to sleep, to ask for the highest good, for an angel from the heaven area, can come. The one that came before can come and bring more information. One of the things is, on the pineal gland, it is just beginning to open up. So it, through conjuring up the dream, remembering the dream when you wake up, and even writing your dream down in the state between week, between sleeping and waking, writing it down, and then you can get more used to the operation of your pineal gland in connection with your dream state and the state between the dreams and the waking. So writing down your dreams when you first wake up, and asking before you go to sleep at night for more information, and to have the angel revisit. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from we have a fellow, I believe, is Nigerian. Hang on just a second. I didn't write his name down. Abimo Adesia. And he had a premature child who was born at 30 weeks of gestation. So that's really soon. But he's actually very healthy and not any complications. I made a decision not to give him any vaccines, but despite my wishes, the hospital inadvertently gave him the hepatitis B shot at his premature age. I feel that vaccine is what caused my seasonal allergies and my sister's asthma. We had vaccine questions before, but I wanted to know if people are better off, such as my new son, without vaccines, especially if they're taking in the proper nutrition.
Thank you. We do not wish to give medical advice. However, if you follow some of the research that you can find concerning vaccines and the effects and studies, you can get a better idea. When one gets a vaccine, the components of the vaccine can stay in the body for the whole life. We can see how the immune system can be called upon to move into action when a vaccine is given. But yet we can see a compromise in the system from the components of the vaccine. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, one of the things about graduating this realm has to do with opening your chakras. And there's different techniques for opening chakras. There's yoga. There is yoga. We'll ask about yoga next. There's intimacy or sex. Could you give us some guidance on things that we could use to keep our chakras more open?
Thank you. When one uses focus, meditation, to clear the mind and can eliminate the chatter, the randomness, the reactions, and to just be a clear, still center, they then can be in the present time without conjuring up things from the past, so that in the sexual act they can integrate, coordinate, be one with another in a more salient state. When one can practice the yoga with a still mind and the paying attention to the various parts of the body, they can move into a state which will raise their consciousness and will then eliminate hindrances on the chakras spinning in not a complete spin or not a ideal spin, can eliminate blockages to the flow of energy through the chakras. And as the person sits in the stillness, things may come up and reveal the blockages and where the blockages are and more information about them and help the individual clear them. Having the chakras in tip-top operating condition then allows the individual to interface with his surroundings. And if it is moving into an ascension experience, they will much more be able to move into the higher frequencies with their chakras open instead of not operating in a correct spin or resisting movement.
Thank you. Okay, here's some questions from Edna. And the home is Washington. And Edna has a lot of memories of Atlantis and being triggered by things about Atlantis. And she understands from the Edgar Cayce readings, in Atlantis there was the children of the Law of One and the sons of Belial working in opposite directions. She gets sensitive and feels profoundly sad. I have some questions about that. One, I was wondering if the sons of Belial were once part of the children of the Law One and changed their inclination because of their ego desire, power, and manipulation of others. Can you comment on that?
The answer would be yes. Perhaps they were not all the part of the Law of One in their incarnation in Atlantis. Perhaps they worked up to it through earlier incarnations to be connected with Baal. However, as they at one time were part of the Law of One, they became focused into negative experiences that then connected them with Baal.
Thank you. And then she asks, were the children of the Law of One members a part of the Elohim group that decided to come over to the third dimension and get trapped here?
They did not decide to come and get trapped here. They were not all members of the Elohim. They were members of different groups. There were quite a few of them that were the members of the Elohim. They did decide that they wanted the ecstasy and sensual sensations and the experience of a life in the third density. They wanted to know how to experience that, but they did not realize that she would thus be trapped, because until one is trapped, and when one is not trapped, it does not seem possible that one will become trapped.
Mm-hmm. When you guys look down at our realm, is it an easy decision to make? If somebody wanted to come in here, do they just say, like, jumping into a swimming pool, for example?
There are several things. It is one possible way to get to the third dimension. Other possible ways are to go through preparation in the heavenly realm. When one gets their life review after a life, they then decide what it is that they wish to do or how they wish to progress. Many decide to come back into the third density realm and they receive briefings and they receive preparation for the change, which would be various instances of relaxation, meditation, and nutrition to build their confidence and to help to bring in some of the frequencies that could help them move into the third density realm. So there is preparation. It is also possible to just to see for an exterior being in the other realm or any other realm to spot a being and then to decide to come in and check it out. also you have some instances known as walk-ins, where the individual will just drop in. The governing body that say the other person did not wish to be in control of anymore. We can think of two examples of this. One was a walk-in where the being in the third density realm had its spirit brain damage and had been unconscious for a long period of time in a hospital, and the being came in and decided to repair the body, and did repair the body, and the original being that was there was very happy to simply be in the background and to learn from looking instead of learning from being in the master one and control of the body. So it was a good relationship between the two. That is one example. A second example was where a Tibetan monk was murdered, and he was a very advanced soul. So he simply decided to move to the United States. He came to the United States, and there was a body of a gentleman, and the Tibetan monk walked into that body and assumed the control of that. We have other examples of walk-ins too, although it is not that common.
Thank you. And Edmund's last question here is, was she part of the Law of One group in Atlantis? And if she was, why am I still here in this dimension? Did I get trapped?
One is only as trapped as they feel trapped. Or there could be an unconscious trapping where they are not aware of being trapped. You have some sense, and individuals in the third density often have some sense of being trapped, because in the higher densities, in other realms, they have more ability to move by intending oneself to a location, to see extrasensory, hear extra auditory, to have perceptions that are beyond what one has here. And the speed of thought is very fast, and so it can give one a sense of being trapped because of the frustration one can feel in the amount of time it takes to put all of the elements into motion in the third density to get the result that they were able to think of in a flash. So there is some sense of feeling trapped by the mechanics of the third density, trapped by not knowing how to leave your body and go visit other spaces and then come back, which one should be careful when doing, as one needs to honor the laws of flow so that they do not get into some kind of a situation that will disconnect them from their body tether and then make it hard to get back to their body. That is your answer.
Thank you. Next question is having to do with people who are having symptoms right now. People are getting dizzy. They are having insomnia. Are these symptoms a process of clearing something, or are they something which they can make a conscious decision to change something in their life that would relieve the symptoms? Thank you.
Thank you. There are some things that are going on, such as low frequency modulated waves that one might hear as a low hum, and they are at or similar to a body frequency and can cause awakeness during the sleeping hours, and the individual might not know why or even sense that it is from this disturbing, annoying, low-frequency hum that is barely audible.
These are man-made, yes?
They are. They are man-made. There are antennas that are long-frequency antennas that project these low-frequency waves, and they are used in communication and submarines. There are experiments with these frequencies, and they can indeed keep a person awake, and the person may not be totally aware of why they haven't been able to sleep.
Thank you. This is a question from Ann Domes, and she's been asking this for a couple times, so she's really keen to get an answer. I have humming sounds getting louder at night in my bedroom. I found out that they get louder if I cover my ears. Are they coming from within me? Are they coming from out there? Sometimes close by, sometimes very far. I have put up with this for years. I Google humming sounds. I don't find anything. And let me put that question out first.
Thank you. We refer you also to the last answer to the question, as these humming sounds are coming as they would vibrate the body, so they are coming both from outside the body and with inside the body, because these humming sounds that are man-made and broadcast in the lower frequency range are in the area of the resonance of the human body, and they can get the body to resonate at that same frequency. So they may be seeming to come from inside as well as the body resonates with those humming sounds. If you are near rock or some formation, physical location that magnifies the sound, you can even get them louder in a situation like that. So you might see, if you slept in different places, different towns, if you were traveling, pay attention to the humming and see if it is less in other areas.
Thank you. And her second question was, before my mother died, she told us when and where and who her parents would be. Name of her mother, Mary Ann. She was happy. She will carry the same last name in her next life. And she mentions the name Ron, and I asked where she mentioned Sans Cole. Everything, as she said, manifested. Lives in San Francisco. My nephew married a lady with the same name. Her name is Radion. On her death, I did a little ritual. I breathed slowly, first mouth breath, from the top of my heart to her feet, and up again towards her forehead. Never in my life have I seen, heard, scene was performed, blowing slowly, as if it was if I was expected to do this for her, and I haven't found an answer to this why. My family never questions this ritual, so where did it come from? And I have to say, I'm not sure I understood all that. Okay, and it seems that she's saying that. That her mother died, and that her mother told her who she was going to be. And you know what? I think I need far more explanation. But let me turn it over to our sources and see if they understood it. But I think Anna has to write me again because she's not explaining for me all the details. Maybe our sources got it. Did you get it?
Thank you. Your voice is very fuzzy. But what we understood from this was that there was a ritual that the girl performed upon her mother's death, and it had been done earlier by people in her family, this ritual. And it was a ritual that has helped. See, when an individual passes on, did we hear you correctly and sense correctly that this is to do with blowing upon the certain areas of the mother?
I breathe slowly, pursed mouth breath from top of her head to her feet and up again towards her forehead. Yes.
Thank you. This is a helpful ritual that has come down through a narrow family line, and it lets the individual that has died know that there is an awareness that there is a life there, a relative that is connecting with them and is helping to let them know that they can let go to some degree of their body and help them on their path of the transition from the body to a new form, which then they can move into the next action, the next chapter of their life. And we see that this being born in San Francisco, we see that the individuals that are mother and father have an open opportunity to listen, to converse with the child, to listen to what the child says, and we see individuals. We will only mention this briefly. They, at a very early age, before they begin to speak, it seems as if they were speaking baby talk. However, if you record what they are saying, which seems like baby talk, and then you reverse it, reverse the speech, like with Audacity, which is a computer program, or with a reverse tape recorder, listen for words within the words that make sense within the backward speech, to then establish a free flow of communication with the child. And as a child begins to speak forward, to listen and see what it is that the child is talking about, and encourage them to talk about their past experience if they bring it up. It would be good for the person to bring it up and to say a few words.
Thank you. Next question is, where did yoga come from?
You see, that yoga has been passed down and has been passed down. And we see that it was originally brought to India through Sikha teachings of the islanders, and that in India there are groups that are studying the advancement of the soul, and they in various not sure the word, various ashrams began to hold the techniques as a place for, it was not only ashrams, it was other shops, and shops is not the right word, that were able to help train people physically and mentally, and to train them to be masterful in their body control and in their mind control.
You know, what was the first, where did it first come from? Who came up with the idea? Or what group? How did it develop? In other words, it's kind of like a fairly, not kind of 3D experience. And it was a tool to advance one's consciousness. How was it specifically, if you can read it, how was it specifically introduced?
It was from beings that had the experience on other planets and were born into the Earth realm and made it their specific purpose to bring through the information. It was on a planet, in the area of Sirius, where certain individuals had developed mind control and body control, and individuals were trained and then moved into areas of India to bring knowledge specifically through and advance the knowledge, and there was some knowledge that came from Lemuria.
This group come in as aliens and land, or did they come
in? They came in incarnating within the Earth bodies.
I see. Thank you. Hang on. If one was going to study all this information about Enki and Enlil and the Anunnaki, what could one hope to learn from that that might change their life in a positive way?
It would fill in more information about the history of the human race. It would fill in more information about how ranking has been done so that certain bloodlines consider that they are superior, more intelligent, more worthwhile than other bloodlines that have gotten a bad rap due to not having as strong genes or as long a life or as good a response health-wise to life in the third dimension on Earth.
You know, in the raw material, this is a question for me. We have time for a question tonight. In the raw material, it was explained that when a planetary culture developed and didn't have any negativity in it, or it was just slanted towards the positive, that the growth of the beings in that situation was very, very slow, and that the addition of negative or duality created a thrust for people to grow. In our realm, we're certainly aware of a lot of thrust from what we could call negative and service to self and control patterns and, you know, down the line. Could you explain, was there an intent that came from high up to create the negative in this realm, to create this kind of catalyst?
There are some people that would say that that was true and that the catalysts that have been created provide very good opportunities for growth, and they do provide immense opportunities for growth. However, it was not set out to say, okay, we're going to have a war so people can learn. There was the plans behind the wars were to express control and to build wealth of certain individuals who felt that they were better. Now, these individuals really could stand a good dose of learning. Yet, with each individual, it takes the time that it takes for them to reap the results of their karma and to begin to learn the lessons. Some learn rapidly and some learn very slowly, even subjected to negative experiences. So it is an individual thing. And we don't see that there was this specific desire to create negativity for growth, but there was the desire to create negativity for control and to express that one existed and to gain material wealth. And it was after this that the lesson came. That's our answer.
When?
Here we go. I'm sorry, I was muted. I'm here. 6:55, and I think we're going to end this call. And just a moment, let me unmute people.
Unmuted.